We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm up your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CMOS. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CMOS to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Hello, CMOS girlies. Welcome back to the pod. I hope everyone has had a blessed weekend. We're coming to you live on a Tuesday. I'm here with Emma. We're recording on a gloomy Saturday. What's new? It's raining in New York, but how are you doing over there, dog?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm still struggling with some sort of sore throat. I thought I like recovered last weekend and then it came out of nowhere again. So I've been drinking a lot of bone broth. I've been drinking specifically the immunity bone broth from Springbone, which is like a local cafe in New York, and they have like so many different bone broths, and it's a really great place if you live in New York or if you're visiting for like kind of like a fast casual type of experience. Been having a lot of like cough drops and a lot of like echinacea tea, and also Sumo oranges, which gets me into a point that I didn't write down, but I think Kate and I just got blessed with like the best PR package ever. So I was like making a meme, and like usually I just make them like on the spot because I don't have time to like really put much thought into them these days. And I was
just, and I've been covering the meme page for you guys. I had
a Sumo orange the other day before I made this meme, and I was like, damn, this is like so fucking good. I know you've talked about them as well. Yeah. They're like the ones that have like the little knots on the top, and I was like,
they're
whatever.
So easy
I was
to
like
peel.
Making a meme about this. So easy to peel. So I made a meme about them. And then like the Sumo orange brand, which I didn't even realize like it's
was
like an actual company. It's like similar to the Stokes purple potatoes, where it's like, did you guys just like somehow develop this
like
form of potato and then like branded it? Like I don't understand it. They're like, we love your meme. Like, we would love to send you oranges. And Kate like sent them our address. So I'm expecting like a massive fucking crate of oranges. And I am hope. So ready.
No, same. I've been living through the Sumo oranges, and I don't know why I'm like so fixated on them. Like my day is genuinely ruined if I do not have a Sumo orange at like 1 p.m. every fucking day. Yeah, I'm also hoping we get crates. That would be amazing. Like again, I didn't know that they were a brand, like you mentioned. It is funny to just like be so excited about something as mundane as oranges. It's like being excited for socks as an adult on Christmas, but hey, we'll take our W's when we can. My first topic is that baggy jeans are in. I don't know why jeans have to be so triggering. Okay. On the record, I've said that pants are the worst. Pants are the worst thing in society, right? They're so triggering. Sizing is all fucked up for women. It gives me body dysmorphia. Mirrors are bad. I hate the experience of going and trying on jeans. But here's the thing, girlies. You can just get a little bit bigger of a size. Oh my God, right? I got a new pair from Redone, and they're this like loose, low rise fit. And my sister DM'd me quickly after I posted this on Instagram being like, why are you wearing low rise? And I was like, you're a millennial, I'm Gen Z. There's the clear distinction here. Because she was like, I wouldn't be caught dead in low-rise jeans. Anyways, the jeans are low and they're a very loose fit, and they feel like sweatpants on because I got them at a bigger size and they're not like up my crotch and like annoying. And I had this moment again with body image stuff and just like trying on clothes and like seeing my body change that I'm like, yeah, I really don't need to like suffocate myself and force myself into certain clothes. I just put away, not put away, put aside like another bag of like clothes that do not fit me that I'm gonna go donate to like a store here. And I would encourage all the girlies to just like get rid of those clothes that don't serve you because I'm a little bit spiritually inclined these days. And when it comes to like abundance mindset and that bullshit, like I really think if you're keeping stuff that doesn't serve you and fit you like in your space, you're not leaving the opportunity for you to bring in new stuff, like spiritually and also probably physically. Like you do not have room for new clothes in your tiny New York City apartment. But like if you are holding on to stuff that doesn't fit you and triggers this emotional response every time you open up your closet, like you're just kind of rewounding yourself. And so once you get rid of those things, it's like, oh, I could find a new pair of jeans that I love even more than the ones that don't fit me. So if you're overdue for a spring clean out, I highly recommend it. Or if you're looking for new clothes, like I went to Beacon's Closet here, which if you don't know, it's like a secondhand place you can sell clothes, buy clothes. And I think everyone and their mother was doing a closet clean out. So if you're on the hunt for any new pieces, I would go to like a Beacon's or a Buffalo Exchange or something like that.
Yeah, this is definitely a good time to go thrifting if you have like a Goodwill nearby. But I definitely second the baggy jeans. I'm a denim buyer in the fashion industry, so I can say for a fact that baggy jeans are definitely in. I love Redone. I think if anyone wants some more baggy jean recommendations, I really like the low slung baggy from a Goldie. It's probably like very
Oh
similar
yeah.
specs to the Redone. But then Levi's, if you want like a more affordable option, I've never tried them on, but it's called the like the low loose or like the baggy dad. Those are both like nice baggy oversized fits. But yeah, it is like so nice just like having a jean that you can just like throw on and just kind of like sits low on the waist and it's not like, you know, pinching you in
Suffocating.
certain ways and like up your ass, like Kate said, or like giving you some weird camel toe because like Lord knows we all hate that. And like I am such a person that like needs to have jeans that I can sit in. And I know like a lot of girlies like to have their standing jeans and their sitting jeans,
Wait,
but
let's
like
pause there. What the fuck? Why are we buying multiple jeans for different occasions, girls? We should be able to sit and stand and dance and this and do everything in the jeans. Why are we just standing in them?
I
I don't
explained that
get
to my boyfriend yesterday. He was like perplexed, but he's like, I'm not even surprised that that's a thing that girls
I
have.
hate it. Why would you want to buy jeans that are not good enough to sit in? I don't get the appeal of having ones you only can stand in.
I don't
Someone DM
either.
me. I don't know. I don't
It's a
get it.
waste of money, in my opinion. And also, it's like, girl, I'm always sitting. Like, when am I ever voluntarily standing?
Also, that's crazy vibes. But I think also too, you and R, we'll talk about this probably in the podcast of like friendship and loneliness and stuff. But like going to a city school, I feel like I didn't have like the true college experience of like pre-gaming and like putting on like a going out top and like going to a I don't know. Like we went out, but it just doesn't feel like as much of a charade as it is like pre-gaming in a college dorm with 10 other people. And I feel like that's where the standing jean thing like happens. Like it happens there, and then
Totally.
it happens in like bars like that. So maybe I just missed out, but I feel blessed to be missing out on that. My next topic is that you should listen to your body and rest if you need to. This is something I talk about like all the time on my own socials, just with like marathon training, because I've been through a sling of injuries and I've really recovered from them and like gotten stronger. And I've also learned a lot about my body. And that's, I think, the biggest message I want to give to other people and like young women, particularly. Like, stop pushing through pain. If you feel something nagging, like you should listen to it versus shy away from it. And it's a Saturday, so like I was supposed to long run today for a marathon training, and I had 16 miles. And yesterday I had an easy training run, and after the run, like I texted my run coach and I was like, hey, my calf has like felt really on and off, like tight and just weird, cramping the whole week. My IT band has hurt a little bit. Like, what do you think about long run tomorrow? And my coach that I have, I'm very lucky and privileged to have access to a professional coach right now. He coaches this like professional, or he's the executive director of a team for Hoka, and he's training like me as a normal athlete for the Big Sur marathon. And so I'm just saying credentials wise, like he's trained like professional runners, and he texted me like, do not push through it, like rest tomorrow. I don't want you to like inflame yourself and like make this even worse. Like you're in great fitness. The race is 2 months away. Like just take time off. And so to hear that from someone who is not only like I trust because they're this like valid source, but also like he's worked with athletes of all nature. Like, knowing that he's telling me to rest is like really solidifying, like, oh yeah, I should rest. Like, I already didn't want to run tomorrow because my foot was hurting or my calf was hurting, and I thought the run was just going to be nagging and awful mentally. But that's to say, like, you should rest if you do feel some sort of weird nagging pain come on. I know I've gotten a lot of DMs from the CMOS girlies like training for their first half or 5K. And I think it's hard to listen to your body because in society, we've been programmed to not, to push through the pain and just kind of keep going through that. But I think once you start to learn like if it's a repeat nagging pain, I feel like that tends to be more of an injury concern than like a random ache, right? Like, let's say you did arms yesterday and you're like, oh, my arms are really sore. That's different than like, ooh, it feels like my calf is pulled or like my hip is like tight or something like that. So yeah, that's all to say. I'm sitting in these like Normatec recovery boots that are these compression boots right now as we're potting, because it's important to rest. And if you need a rest day, go take one, because it's much better to take a rest day than be forced to take months off and be sidelined from what you love to do.
I completely agree. And also too, like whether you're training for an event or not, like something that I always tell myself is that like, okay, Emma, in May, like May 31st, are you going to remember whether you did or
Right.
did not swim on like a Tuesday morning? Like probably not.
Yeah.
And that one single workout is not going to like make or break your progress as like an athlete or for
Yeah.
your training plan. And also too, I think just like as you start to take more rest days, you just like learn to trust your body more. Like I know when I was younger and maybe like getting out of like eating disorder or maybe getting like too obsessed with exercise that like I was so scared of taking a rest day because I was so afraid that I was like gonna set myself back or like, you know,
Yeah.
quote unquote, like was gonna like get fat, which is like I know probably very triggering, but like that it was the thought that I had back in the day. And like luckily I'm not there anymore. But you realize that like, okay, nothing is going to happen from one day off. If anything, your body's gonna probably
No.
like benefit more from it. And so I've definitely been more accepting of rest days, and I'll take multiple throughout the week. And like, I'm not swimming every day compared to like, you know, back in the day. And yeah, you
Right.
just feel so much stronger and so much more energized. So, like, rest days are definitely necessary. And I think you'll like be so grateful if you do take one versus, like Kate said, trying to push through the pain or just like you eventually your workouts aren't as effective because you're trying to like overcompensate for how tired and worn down your body is.
Yeah, I totally agree. Any other topics of discussion?
Oh, my last topic is that the best Medjool dates, again, I'm still in my Medjool date era, I suppose, or kick. I've just been like very addicted to that combination with almond butter and chocolate chips. And I feel like it's always hard to find good Medjool dates, but I would
Yeah.
say the best Medjool dates are the ones that you can get from the bulk section. And this is because you get to personally select each Medjool date. And so there's this place, East Village Organic, which is in a health store in the East Village in New York City. They have Medjool dates in the bulk section, and I swear to God, they're like the juiciest and biggest dates in the world. And I just like love like individually selecting the best of the best.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than like having like a hard, crusty date or like one that's tiny or like one that like has mold. So definitely hit up your local grocery store or health store or your local co-op that has a bulk section and get your Medjool dates there, just because I'm never like satisfied by the ones that I get like in the plastic containers at like Trader Joe's or Whole Foods.
Yeah, I second that. I also think some nuts are better to get in bulk. I think cashews are my opinion on that one as well. I've been in a pistachio kick lately, so that's another a fun nut to add to the mix for the girlies if you're just sick of only eating walnuts, which I feel like a lot of us do. But to get into the pod, we were talking about loneliness and isolation and friendship and stuff. I think this podcast is probably needed for the CMOS girlies because, like, you guys are all, young women navigating that transition from like either high school to college, but I'm thinking primarily college to your first big girl job or being out in the world. And I think these are rules that, not rules, but this is kind of topics that don't get discussed. I feel like we learn how to kind of move through life up until you get your first job. And then it's kind of like, good luck, take off the training wheels and just like, good luck. And I think too, even as you get older, I think there is still advice about like how to advance in your career, how to save money, how to be in a relationship, but I don't think there's friendship advice. I was talking to the guy that I'm seeing yesterday. Like, it's much easier to talk in romantic relationships. Like, what are we? Are we dating? Are we this? But like friendships, you don't have the similar vocabulary and rules, especially as you get older, because I think people just are like, I don't know. I won't get too into the topic because this is what we're going to be talking about in the podcast. But I hope you girlies enjoy it. It is related to health and wellness. So we're going to talk about loneliness and all that stuff too.
Yeah, so let's get into it.
Let's get into it. I'll call Emma back and we'll chat for your Tuesday pod.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Our next partner is a product that Emma and I take every single day. I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted to find a greens powder that actually blended together. The taste is hands down the best greens powder I've been able to find. It even has a mild tropical taste, and you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, adaptogens, you name it.
For me, I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted a supplement that actually tastes great. I've always known that taking a greens powder is a great addition to one's wellness routine, but I could just never get past the unpleasant taste. This completely changed once I started taking Athletic Greens. It tastes so good that I actually look forward to drinking it every morning, something I never knew was possible. Plus, Athletic Greens contains dairy-free probiotics. And let me tell you, my digestion has never been better.
Another thing that Emma and I love is that it's the one thing with the best things. Athletic Greens uses the best of best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing.
It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go visit athleticgreens.com/CMOS. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CMOS to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Hi, CMOS girlies. We are so excited to announce today's podcast sponsor, Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
Are you tired of cooking the same slop? Well, spice it up with the premier variety offered by Green Chef. You can embark on a delicious culinary adventure this year with Green Chef's diverse menu with 80 plus options. Green Chef even has tons of lifestyle preferences like keto, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, you name it.
Supporting your gut health can be challenging, but Green Chef makes it really easy and fun because their meals are nutrient-dense, science-backed, gut and brain health recipes, which are all developed in partnership with registered dietitians that can help improve digestion, reduce bloat, and also boost energy and immunity.
If you girlies are looking to stock up your pantry on different functional snacks and clean beverages, you know, the ones that support your gut and brain health this January, lucky for you, Green Chef has different green bundles, which are a curated selection of unique handpicked goods that support your overall wellness goals. Emma and I love using Green Chef to learn how to cook new dishes, to spice up our pantry with new goodies and snacks, and have much less worry about grocery shopping.
So if you're interested in trying out Green Chef, go to greenchef.com/60CMOS and use code 60CMOS to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months.
Now back to the show.
Okay, CMOS girly. So like Kate said, today's podcast episode is going to be about like relationships, how that all ties to health and wellness, like maybe how to maintain friendships and like develop friendships as an adult. I've just been seeing so much of this online through a lot of different health and wellness podcasts that I listen to, such as Mind Body Green and like Mark Hyman, et cetera, kind of talking about the importance of relationships and friendships and how this all ties to the loneliness epidemic, which I'm sure we've all have kind of been hearing about. Just because of, you know, post-pandemic, how like COVID and the lockdown really impacted our relationships and how we interact with others. And yes, it's true that there is a loneliness epidemic going on. We're having less in-person interactions with people, and this is due to so many different reasons, which I'll kind of get into. The primary one is just like this increased reliance on virtual connection, which really exacerbated during the pandemic. And this is because like a lot of communities or maybe different generations, such as like older generations, such as like, you know, boomers, et cetera, Gen X, were really starting to adopt these virtual forms of communication that Gen Z, millennials, and Gen Alpha were already privy to, such as, you know, like Zoom, FaceTime, et cetera, just texting more. And through this, like we just have become so much more reliant on these virtual connection tools, which have both, you know, pros and cons. Secondly, social media has really replaced third places, which Kate and I have talked about here and there on the pod, but essentially a third space is just like a place that you would frequent on like a pretty regular daily basis that wasn't your personal home or your form of like work. So that could be like church or a coffee shop or just like any type of like public community center. And there's actually a really, really great report that I was reading about prior to this podcast. And it's the 2023, basically it's a big study or article and report from the US Surgeon General. And it's about like our epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And in it, it said that ages like 15 to 24, in-person interaction with friends has reduced by nearly 70% over almost like 2 decades, from roughly 150 minutes per day in 2003 to about 40 minutes per day in 2020, which is pretty alarming. And the pandemic only like made this worse. Another reason that we're in this like loneliness epidemic, or why we're not interacting with people as much, is due to just like car-centric cities. In New York, Kate and I are very lucky that, we have to rely on public transit. And even though we're maybe not like talking to other people, we're at least like coming face to face with members of our city and like at least like sitting next to strangers. So we're not constantly like in our own little bubble versus, back home in Nebraska or really anywhere else around the nation where you're relying so much on cars, and there's like, not really any ability to go on walks throughout your city. You just kind of end up like always being in your own little bubble or shell. Lastly, or not lastly, but like we also just have like a very hyper productive centric society. So we're all working overtime. We have like no work life boundaries. And even though, yes, from the pandemic, we have now hybrid work and there's like more remote work and more remote jobs. People are not using that like additional flexibility with like their work-life balance to engage in relationships. Rather, we're using it to catch up on life, whether that's like grocery shopping or like cleaning up the house or doing laundry, et cetera, versus like, and also just like using that time to recharge and not get burnt out. Like I said, just because like we're constantly working all the time, overtime, just like really demanding and stressful jobs and like not having the support systems at work to help support ourselves and our own personal work. So we're unable to use that like flexible free time or that additional time to really engage in developing deeper and more meaningful relationships. And then just like lastly, community involvement just in general has been on the decline. In 2018, only 16% of Americans reported that they felt very attached to their local community. And a lot of this has to do with the decline in like participation and affiliation with religion. And religious groups and church communities, like for a very, very long time, were like the main centers for community involvement. And like I went to a private school all my life. And so like I always grew up, going to church every Sunday with my parents. And, granted, maybe I wasn't like fully partaking in, the church service, or I like didn't really pay much attention to it, but it was like in retrospect, nice constantly seeing the same families every week. And there would always be like donut Sundays. And, like my parents were able to like interact with other parents from school and just like people from their community. And granted, I'm not saying that like you have to be religious and like, religion and like church communities are like, the best way to engage with community. But I think these general pillars are the foundation that they provided, which was like a sense of belonging, common interests, and like regular contact with people, in your community definitely led to a better well-being. And I think like we can definitely adopt those type of principles and learnings into, more modern day communities that are maybe more appropriate for Gen Z or Gen Alpha, just as like everyone's relationship with religion has changed. And since we're such a secular society now. And also too, like people are living alone longer, getting married later or not at all. People aren't having kids. And it's mainly because like the cost of living, like no one can afford to buy a home. And so this like these delayed adult milestones are also impacting communities because we're all kind of more nomads, where we all live, it's like quite fleeting. And, rent prices are constantly going up, which is like forcing people to move. And also just like the rate of layoffs that like no one really has any ability to, I think, put a stake in the ground and be like, this is going to be my home, this is going to be my neighborhood, and this is going to be my community, just because everything feels so temporary these days with just how rapid, social media has made our lives become. And, that definitely impacts how we interact with people because like I know for me, like the apartment that I'm living in right now, it's like a temporary one. I'm not going to live here forever. So there's not much incentive for me personally to like engage and get to know my neighbors versus like my parents when they bought their house. They're like, okay, this is like where we're going to live for the rest of their lives. So we might as well get to know everyone. And so I think that has also created such a shift just because our people are like, I don't really care because I know like I'm not going to be here forever. So like, why should I care about the person across the hall from me knowing that like they might not even re-sign their lease after a year or two?
Yeah, and I think it's hard for young people too because all the stats Emma said are true, but another stat is like college has created a sprawl of people moving across the country that didn't exist. Even if your parents went to college, they probably went to one that was in the state or bordering states. And so the cultures were familiar, the way that people live their lives, you know, the financial opportunities are very similar. And then you weren't uprooting yourself from your community and your family as well. Like so many people in New York, it's very obvious when you're here for the holidays. Like I stayed for Thanksgiving and the city was pretty empty because there's like a lot of transplants, including myself, that do live here. And I know New York is a unique like melting pot, but this phenomenon is happening everywhere. Like people go to college, probably a city that they've never been. They don't have any relation to that like land or city or the community there. And then let's say you get a job and you move to another major city or a different state, you don't have roots there, right? And I think it is hard. And there's this conversation with like in politics with like housing policy and kind of like what to do because people are moving and like how to integrate people into community. Because I genuinely think most people want to be involved in their community in some way. Now, like, what's the level of that that you're able to do? But it benefits everyone, right? For all of our basic needs to be met on a community level, where like, let's say you have a house, and I was actually just watching a TikTok about this. Like, let's say you have a house and something breaks. One of your neighbors can like come over and fix it, right? And then maybe you get them cookies or something as like an exchange. Like we used to barter and trade with our community because we knew them more. People used to get haircuts done by the local hairdresser. And like a lot of times people were set up into marriages and relationships because your mom was like, oh, my hairdresser has a son. Like I'm going to set you up with him, right? That is entirely wiped off the face of the map when you move somewhere that you have no connection to. And one thing that I've tried to do, because I've been in New York and Emma as well, almost for like 7 years, I've moved a few times and I always try to get to know like the people that work at the businesses around me, just from like more, maybe it's a Minnesota nice tendency, maybe it's more of like a fear mindset that like I live alone, I am a young woman, like God knows like what happens, like my emergency contact, my mom, does not live in New York City. There was one moment where I was like rushed to the hospital for like something they thought it was appendicitis. And in that moment, it really set in of like, holy shit, I'm here alone. Like I have friends that could come and help me, but I don't have like family here. And so you have to sort of create your second family, I think, when you do move far away from where your actual family is, right? But I've gotten to know like my UPS delivery guy. I've gotten to know the guy that works the coffee cart on the corner of my street. I know my super fairly well. He lives in my building. I know a few of my neighbors. And I think it feels awkward. I think it feels awkward to kind of do what everyone else isn't doing and to get to know your neighbors. I have a few friends that see their neighbors all the time and they like get coffee with their neighbors or they bring cookies up to their elderly neighbors. They carry their groceries. Like I've been saying that I'm on the hunt for like an 80-year-old woman that I want to be friends with in New York and like do her manual labor that she can't physically do. So I think there is an appetite for young people to have those connections, but I think we are so used to getting stuff off of our phone and not going out and doing stuff without a phone. Like I catch myself doing that all the time. There was a TikTok I saw again, like imagine if the internet was entirely off the grid for a day. Would you know how to get around the city? Would you know how to do stuff if you didn't have your phone right there to tell you everything, you know? And I think that is a good test. Like, could I go to the store and buy all my groceries, get back home? Could I drive somewhere, create, get a physical map and like do the whole thing, right? It is good to step out of the iPhone moment that we're in right now and remember that, oh yeah, like community connections used to exist so easily because we weren't so reliant on our phones. And I think another thing that has happened with the decline of religion, like Emma was saying, is that people are looking for that third space. And I think gyms have become a religion. I think SoulCycle, very culty. I know it was mentioned in that book, Cultish. Running culture can be very culty. But people do have this desire to see regular faces. It's a safety thing. It's how humans are meant to be, to live in community with others and to see regular faces, right? I think people will become a regular at a coffee shop to have that sense of familiarity. And I think the most challenging part of gaining friendships and community as you get older is maybe college. Like, I think college can be awkward, but then again, you know, you'll be in classes with hundreds of different students. You're going to be walking across campus. I think there's more opportunity for you to make friends in college, but when you graduate college and let's say you go to your first job, and especially because a lot is remote work now, like maybe you're not physically seeing your coworkers. Maybe you're never meeting because it's entirely over Zoom. And like, how do you want to navigate that? And I think another thing that's tough is like working a 9 to 5, or like I don't work a 9 to 5, but I do work for 8+ hours in the day. You don't have time to like do stuff after work, right? Most of us are dead and checked out by 6. I don't have time to go to do some social activity after that, or to pick up a hobby, or to, reach out to someone and get a drink every single night. Because I think capitalism has just like beat us all up. We don't have time to do things that we'd actually want to do. Like, if you had to create a day where you didn't have to do anything productive, you could spend money in the world, all the money in the world, a lot of us would want to probably like go, CMOS girlies at least, would like go to a farmer's market with a friend, get coffee with a friend, go thrifting or something, grab dinner, maybe cook. And all of those things are kind of community actions. Going to the farmer's market, you're getting to meet like the local farmers and shit. Coffee shop, you're going to meet people around you that live close to you, right? Let's say you go to a run club or something like that, you're meeting people with similar interests as you. And so it is just a shame that a lot of us don't have time to make friends and stuff. I think I've had a list of like, I want to go try this pottery class and I want to go do this. And then by the time I get around to it, it's like 6 months later. So to answer that question of like how to make friends, I think you really have to put it in your schedule. It's not going to happen, because I've been sitting in my apartment alone and I'm like, why don't I have friends? Or why am I not in a relationship? And it's like, yeah, because no one's coming in there. I hate to break it to you guys, but like you can have your phone, but you will not meet new people in your apartment. Pretty tough. So you have to make the effort and really put it on the schedule to go out and do that. And I think easy ways to do that on the weekend, maybe have like one new spot you want to check off the list so it's not too overwhelming. Or texting your friends on like a Sunday, like, hey, do you have any time this week or next week? Would love to catch up. I think it's good to do that like before the week starts, so you can have an idea of like where your week's going and coordinate with their plans as well. And I think maintaining friendships is something that is a skill, and is a we don't talk about it as something that you need to do as like a disciplined act. I think when I was growing up, I just assumed like this person's going to be my friend because we're going to be in the same school till senior year. And as you get into adulthood, people's lives get busier. People get into relationships. They move across the country. They get new jobs. People start having kids, whatever. You're going to see your friends in different stages of their life. And I think it's really, it's naive to think that the friendship will remain the same as both people in the equation go through different parts of their life. And you have to be thoughtful in reaching out. Like, it's not just going to happen, because none of us are seeing each other regularly. We all have different lives. We're on our phones. We're working. And I think that it is challenging if you feel like you have distance with people. Like, there was a bunch of people I went to NYU with, and I'm like, wow, I haven't talked to them in like 3 years. Would it be awkward if I was just like, let's hang out? And in reality, you have to put yourself in their shoes. I think 99% of the time, let's say you were pretty good friends with someone, if they reached out to you and were like, let's hang out, you would probably say yes. But it does feel awkward to like make the first effort to initiate, to make a plan when you don't have like that certainty of like, I see this person in my chemistry class every single week. So I think the biggest thing that I've learned as you get older is like friendships are work. And that's not to say like work is bad, but you have to put effort into it. It's not just going to happen. And I think social media has also made friendships more difficult, because it's this illusion that it's easier to meet people. It is nice that you can meet people in like specific factions and interest groups that have the same interests as you. But at the same time, I think we are watching each other's lives on Instagram story. You're seeing what your friends are doing every single day. If something cool happened to them or whatever, like maybe they're sharing that with you. And we see what people do even if we do not put an effort to reach out. And so it feels like you are getting these regular updates from people. It feels like you're seeing people. And I think I've only really had this realization come out with friends of mine that do not have social media. And every now and then I'm like, oh my God, I wonder what they did for this, or I wonder how this went for them, right? Knowing that, like, let's say they had some sort of new job they were starting, or they went on a trip, right? You have to do the effort of like catching up on their lives versus just seeing it on your Instagram. And so I encourage everyone to really think, like, when was the last time I asked someone how this thing in their life went versus like passively tapping on Instagram story? Because I do feel like that is fairly easy to do. And I think we were in a space where social media as well used to only be our friends, and now our feeds are like influencers, brands, friends, kind of all merged together. So I think it feels more impersonal by nature to log onto Instagram because I'm like expecting to see ads, I'm expecting to see products. I'm not expecting it to only be updates from my friends versus like I have a Facebook account and I only have my family on there. So like I know that if I log into Facebook, I'm only seeing what like my cousins and aunts and uncles are doing versus if I log on Instagram, it's like I'm probably not going to see my friends' content because ads are going to be pushed my way and like branded content's going to be pushed my way. And so how do we kind of, go through that as well, where like how are we viewing our friends? Is this like actually something that is bringing me friendship and community to log on Instagram? Because I could argue that I think social media is a perfect place to meet friends, but at the same time, I think it makes us all very passive in our relationships, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think kind of bouncing back onto that, like tips on making friends as an adult, I think this is something that is not talked about at all, and you're not ever taught how to. And I really do feel like it's just because everyone is really experiencing it and trying to figure it out for the first time. And I wish like I was kind of told as a senior and like high schooler in college, like how difficult it is to make friends and call or as an adult and like tips for that. As Kate mentioned, like you have to kind of seek it out, and it's really onto you to either A, maintain the friendships or develop new friends. And it's really because as we get older, we have less built-in social groups. Like, think about an elementary school, you're with like the same group of kids for maybe like 8 to 10 years. So, like, you're naturally going to develop friendships just because you're constantly seeing the same people. Your parents are putting you into extracurricular activities, whether that's like band, choir, scrapbooking club, some sort of like sport. And then two, like your neighborhood, like the neighborhood that you live in, if you didn't like move around a whole lot, you would constantly go and like play with the neighborhood kids and you guys would like, shoot hoops all day, like over the summer. And there's just less of that now. And so, I think one thing to keep in mind is that not all friendships as an adult need to be these like super deep connections. I think we all kind of believe that like in order for someone to be my friend, like I have to be texting them all the time and like we have to be sharing like the juiciest, deepest parts about ourselves and like always going out like every weekend. And it really doesn't have to be that way. Like people you see on a weekly basis, whether that's like the barista, hairdresser, maybe like the woman who works at the laundromat, or even just neighbors from across the hall, those small exchanges that you can make can lead to like a short conversation. Maybe it starts off as like 2 to 3 minutes, and then maybe it can develop into like a, full like 10-minute conversation. And I think all these like little moments of like interactions can definitely make you feel very fulfilled, especially as you're like just starting off like as an adult and like maybe living on your own for the first time with your own new job and like a place that you haven't lived for a very long period of time. Again, as Kate mentioned, like frequently shared spaces that are centered around a hobby or an interest, I think, like, are really one of the best ways, and perhaps like one of the only ways that you can really make friends like out in the world, real world, without relying on social media so much. People become less like strangers because you're constantly seeing probably the same faces every single day. And you have something in common already to talk about. Like when I joined the pool that I swim at in Williamsburg, I was just planning on joining because like I wanted to swim and it was affordable. And I never thought in a million years that like I would now have like this huge group of friends. And we all went to dinner last week to this restaurant called Tabare because one of the guys that I swims with, he like owns the restaurant. And I was just like sitting around and there was probably like 15 of us. And it really hit me that like tw less than 12 months ago, none of us knew each other. And the fact now that like all 12 of us all somehow found ourselves like at this pool and we have developed like this incredible friendship where we're now like all going out to dinner together. It really was like kind of a shocking and eye moment, eye-opening experience for me because I was like, oh wow, like so much can change in, 6 to 12 months. But also too, like when you join something, you have no idea where it's gonna lead to. And that's why I just always encourage people, like if there's something that you have some sort of like urge for, like just go out and do it. If you've been like wanting to do this like pottery class, or like maybe you want to get back into soccer, but like you're nervous of joining like an intramural sports league, just like do it and see what happens. And like I can guarantee probably like 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a positive experience and you're going to at least like meet someone through that. And that person can eventually, who knows, become your next best friend. And so, like I said, like pottery classes, workout classes, going to the bookstore or joining an intramural sports league or like volunteering. These are all places where, it's centered around some sort of like good deed or hobby and like you're going to be seeing similar faces. And again, like I think continuing to use social media as a tool, I think like us as young people are just like always told that like social media is toxic. Like these are all the bad things that social media does. But also too, like it is a very powerful tool that like we should use to our advantage. So many of us are more comfortable to, engage online. So like join a Geneva group, send a DM to a mutual and just like start talking. And you just like never know what will lead to that. Maybe you can like ask them to get coffee, and it's like a very like low stakes environment. And like it's kind of similar to networking. Like this person doesn't have to be like your best friend forever. I think it's just like good to definitely exercise that muscle, just because social interactions are a muscle. And lastly, like yes, you can be friends with your coworkers. I think so many of us are constantly taught that like you have to keep like arm's reach from like people that you work with, and you don't want to get like too tangled up in like your coworkers' lives. But like if there's someone that like you truly are vibing with, like it is so fine for that to become your best friend. Like so many people meet like friends along the way through work. People have found like, you know, romantic partners throughout the way from work. So if there is someone that like you kind of are starting to click with, like definitely let that become an opportunity, become a friend, just because like I think like coworker friends are like some of like the best people in the world. And like there's people that I have held, you know, very near and dear to my heart, and I consider really, really great friends that I've met through my internships or just like other jobs throughout my career.
Yeah, and to add to that, I think you really have to get rid of your fear of aging in order to feel secure in your ability to make friendships. Because I had this idea, like, I was never in a friend group growing up, and I was kind of like, oh my God, I feel weird that I'm not in a friend group. And like, maybe college will be when I get a friend group. And then college happened, I never got a friend group. And then post college, I never got a friend group. And so now I don't feel like I will ever probably be a friend group person, just because I'm fairly independent, introverted. I have a lot of friends that I feel like I'm a floater in that sense with my friendships, right? But you can have friendships throughout your entire life, and you can always meet new people. Like Emma said, how she just met her swimming community now at like 25, right? There's still so much life and so much opportunity. Like when I was talking to my mom when she was visiting me, you know, her friends are not even from college. They're from post college. And like, there's so much life for you to live. And like Emma said, there's so many random opportunities where you could meet someone, meet people. I've met so many people, friendships, like at events, at a coffee shop, at something where I didn't intend, like, I'm going to go to this thing and meet a friend. I think it always, at least with dating, it's like, I'm going to go to a bar and like meet a guy tonight. And I think when we put that pressure on certain things to happen and unfold in certain ways, you know, it gets rid of the magic of life. You know, it would be pretty boring if someone wrote down like when you're going to meet your partner, when you're going to meet your best friend, when this is going to happen to you. And I think when you make room for uncertainty, like that's where life happened. Kind of like in the intro, we were talking about, am I going to remember if I took a rest day or not 5 weeks from now? You're not going to remember that, right? But you're going to remember the random thing. And I think eating disorder stuff, to talk about that, like there were so many random moments that I did miss out on when I had my eating disorder because I was afraid of food. I didn't go to the social interaction. What would have happened if I did go to those things? And now Emma and I are both in a place where we say yes to those like 100% of the time. And life is so much more fulfilling. And you also have less time to ruminate on the fact that you're isolated, you're alone, you're insecure about your body when you are putting yourself out there. So I think it's an effort, it's a skill. If you don't feel like it's natural for you to like go up to someone at a coffee shop or at a bar or whatever, that's totally normal. But I think putting yourself in positive environments, I think that's the big step that you have to take for friendships. And to talk a little bit about like community and blue zones, we have done a few episodes about blue zones, but if you don't know, there's certain areas across the world that have the most long-lived, healthiest populations, and they live to be like hundreds of years old. And so a bunch of people have studied these different populations and like why are they so healthy. And of course you can imagine they all eat different things, they eat different food timing throughout the day, different size meals, they have different occupations, different climates, but the one thing that's in common is that they all have community. And so when thinking about what matters in terms of health and longevity, like if you have a community where you feel supported, that's going to improve your health so much, right? Let's say you had a physical ailment, or let's say you had an injury or something. Who's taking care of you? Who's looking out for you? Like that's a basic need that you need met, like a survival instinct. But then secondly, like let's say you're going through a breakup or you're switching jobs or something like that. You want a support system to be there for you. And I think it's really hard to do life alone. You know, as someone who felt like they were going to be alone or independent their whole life, and I still feel like I'm pretty independent and I do my own shit all the time. It feels so good to ask for help and feel comfortable asking for help. It feels so good to have people to bounce ideas off of. And that doesn't take away from your own autonomy and independence, right? It doesn't make you a codependent person to have people in your life. You still can have your independence and like be yourself and wear whatever you want. But I think when you have resources around you, your daily life becomes less daunting. Because I think I was hitting a point, especially after my dad passed, where I was like, I just can't do this anymore, like alone. Like I can't just be, you know, the person that picks myself up when I'm crying. I can't be the person that advocates for myself and does this. Like, it's not, you're not weak to think that you need community. It is a very vital human need to need people. And I think like productivity culture and like wellness has like an optimization within wellness kind of makes us think that we have to do it all alone. And that's to just say the research in these blue zones shows that the healthiest people do have community. So encouraging you to like find community. It is really hard to find that. Someone asked like how to find a partner. Girl, that's tough. I do think values is something. I mean, modern dating is just fucked. Let's just end sentence there, right? But you know, when you are seeking out a partner, you do want to align on values. And so health and well-being is probably a big value to you if you are a CMOS girly. And I think that can be challenging when, like, you know, a lot of people are not particularly interested in that or might think you're weird or might like have you as like an alien in their head. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that it's better to be yourself from day one than to hide that and then bring that out at month two. And then they're like, who the fuck is this girl with ashwagandha in her cabinet? You got to lead with who you are, right? And if it doesn't work out, much easier to know that after one date versus spending 6 months together and it not working out. So I think advocating for yourself in relationships when it comes to health and wellness is like a good way to do it. And also just setting boundaries. Like, I think I, when I first started dating, right? And if let's say I like someone, I would just allow that person to really dictate my life because I was having a crush. I was infatuated. I was like, oh my God, whatever they want to do, I'll do it. I'll change my schedule. I'll do this, right? Like, I was just in it so much. And now, like, especially when you're just getting to know someone, they don't need to, you don't need to break your bedtime to text them. You don't need, they don't have access to know every little thing you do in the day. You're not missing your workout class that you take every single week to do something for them. Like, they are not at the point where they have that much access to you yet if you are early dating. And so I think standing on your boundaries when you are early dating, especially when it comes to health and wellness, like, I used to just stay up till midnight texting some random guy, what the fuck am I doing? And then I'd wake up and my run would be shitty the next day. Like, for what? For what grand purpose, right? Let's say like that's my mom texting me something serious at midnight. Yeah, I can stay up and do that. But I think it is really important to stick to those boundaries when you are dating someone. Let's say you stayed over at someone's apartment, it's the next morning. You don't need to spend the whole day with them. You need to go home and like go on your little walk and get your groceries. Like, you have a full life to live. And so I think that's really important to establish in relationships that, like, yeah, you have to be flexible. You have to compromise. Once you get to know someone more, you definitely have more opportunity to learn about their life, how they live, and adapt to that. But I think when you're first dating, like, you got to be yourself. And if you're a CMOS girly freak, you got to be a CMOS girly freak. I don't know. Like, you're not going to be able to change someone. And you shouldn't spend your time trying to change someone or changing yourself to get someone to like you.
So well said. Lastly, we just kind of want to touch on like socializing as an introvert, just because I know so many CMOS girlies probably identify as an introvert. And, I would say majority of people online are kind of cosplaying as extroverts, and we're constantly seeing all the social things people are doing that it can be very challenging to like view that as an introvert, and you kind of constantly feel bad about like why you're always like drained after events, or like why you constantly are wanting to say no. And I definitely encourage people, to listen to yourself, but like also make sure you are socializing, just because there are health risks that are related to like prolonged isolation. It can lead to poor or insufficient social connection is actually associated with increased risk of disease, including a 29% increased risk of heart disease and a 32% increased risk of stroke. It's associated with an increased risk of anxiety, depression, dementia. And it can be as hazardous as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And of course, this is like for like severe cases of like prolonged isolation. And there's a difference between social isolation versus loneliness. And so, if you're like, I just need to have a weekend like to myself, like you're not like necessarily going to be put at risk for all of these particular like health implications. But I think it's just something to keep in mind that, how we interact with people does actually tie back to our overall health and well-being, which should not come as a surprise at this point, given everything that we said in this episode. But socialization is very objective, and it's having like few social relationships, social roles, group memberships, and infrequent social interaction versus loneliness, which is a subjective internal state. It's a distressing experience that results from a perceived isolation or unmet need between an individual's preferred and actual experience. And so, like, as an introvert for me, like, I think I've gotten really, really good at getting to know myself best and like knowing in what situations I'm going to thrive in, and making sure that I always, put myself in those particular situations. And I think like the best thing is just to set boundaries with yourself, right? Like you don't need to have yourself like be open and like available to everyone 24/7, like Kate said, in dating relationships. Like with social media and I think working from home, we just feel like we constantly have to be available 24/7. And that can be draining because as introverts, we do get drained from social interaction. So even though it may not seem like, answering an email or like constantly replying to someone the second they text you, like feels like a social interaction, it still is because you're putting your energy into someone else or through another response you're giving another person. So using things such as like do not disturb or just like allowing yourself not to like respond right away. Like it is okay if you do not reply to an email within 10 minutes. It is okay if you don't reply to a friend within like 5 minutes of texting them. Like they can wait for like a few hours. And I think this just will allow you to create a buffer and make people realize that like they don't have access to you 24/7. I think like getting to know your limit, as I mentioned, like introverts get drained from social interactions, and so we need to recharge through alone time versus extroverts. Some people are going to do great, with like 30-minute intervals with people. Some people can like, have longer periods of time with groups of people. And I think also it really comes down to like if you are better at interacting with one-on-one versus like large groups. Like if I'm with one person that I really enjoy, that's like a really great friend of mine, such as Kate. Like I could probably talk to Kate for, 4 or 5 hours and not get tired and not get drained. Versus like if I was talking to a group of people that like maybe I was like close with like two of them, but like didn't know the other three, I would probably like lose interest and get extremely drained after 30 to 45 minutes. And that has nothing to do with like those type of people and like their personalities. It's just like for me personally, like I just cannot keep up with like a group setting. And even like when I had this group dinner, even though I'm super close to my swim friends, I was like the first person to leave because after like an hour, I was like, I'm tired. I've experienced all that I need to experience. Like, I love you people dearly, but I just like don't have it in me anymore to like engage in this conversation. And it's okay to do that because you're protecting yourself, you're protecting your energy, you're listening to yourself. It's not like rude to like leave a social interaction early if you know that like you do not have it in you to contain and to continue to like entertain it. And also, like, kind of going off of that, like, figuring out your socialization style. Are you better one-on-one or with a group? Like, form your hangouts around that social pace and environment that won't leave you depleted. And, social interaction is a muscle. So it comes easier with time. I know for me, like, I definitely feel better about like holding a conversation and having small talk the more I do it with others. So again, it's going to be awkward. Like you're not always going to have a very fluid conversation. And like it's okay. You're like kind of figuring out your stride and like how to communicate with others. And also like lastly, it's okay to decline events. Just like make sure you are finding your like quote unquote me time. And I typically say no to events more often than not, especially if it's like a large group setting that I know I well and truly am not going to enjoy. Like I have done like the going out in New York. That like when I get that opportunity, if that opportunity is handed to me, I typically am going to decline because I know that's like not going to energize me. It's not going to be a fun experience for me. Of course, like, I'm going to go here and there depending on the group of people and whatnot. But I think like you just shouldn't feel shame or guilt for being an introvert. And I think introverts are constantly judged or we constantly feel bad about our inability to maybe engage in a large group. There's a really good book called Quiet. And I'm sure a lot of people have read about, and it's like a very in-depth nonfiction book on like introverts and like other very like prominent introverts around the world and just like how we differ from extroverts and like how our society is more built for extroverts versus introverts. And I definitely encourage people to read it, but I would say embrace it and it's fine and you're going to find your people. And just because what you see on social media does not necessarily mean like that's how people are like constantly living their social lives.
Yeah, find what activities energize you and drain you. I think taking like a mental stock, like that might feel silly to like leave a social interaction and be like, do I feel drained or do I feel energized? But I definitely notice that and it kind of creeps up on you. I think, like, let's say you're going into your work week or something and you had a busy weekend, or let's say you go out and like you didn't feel like you got everything you needed done on the weekend. I know that I go into my weeks kind of high stress then. So just taking like time for yourself within the social interactions, like, I try to reserve my Sunday night as like a perfect little reset for me. But it'll ebb and flow as you change jobs, move cities, do all the big girl things. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode though. Let us know if you have any comments, questions about loneliness, any other ways that you're finding community. Would be excited to hear your thoughts. But I think that's that. It's a Saturday here in New York. Nothing too exciting for Emma and I. Just live, laugh, loving, and podcasting. But we will talk to you girlies next Tuesday. Like the memes while we're away, and we'll talk to you then.
Have a good one.